want to begin. I want to begin by telling you how much I missed you, how much I missed being together with you, even though I know it's a new chevra, some of the old chevrim. But to be together, first of all, with Mary Rabbi, Rav Miller, and all the Tamir Chachamim, your Rebbeim, Tzaddikim, who love you and who live for you, or here at midnight on a Thursday night, Mishchaydish Adar, Tavshin Pei Beis. I want to thank the Achsanya, to thank Yeshiva, Reishis Yerushalayim, the Marcus family, of course, the Yeshiva, and my dear friends, Reb Josh and Reb Jonathan, all the Chavarim back in New York, in Yeshiva University, and Yeshiva over here, or Metapol of the Yeshiva. So much has happened. So much has happened over the past few years. Things that we never imagined. A mahapecha. A mahapecha. The whole world has been turned inside out, outside in, upside down. And even now, these past few days, there's this mysterious and dark place in the world where many, many, many great tzaddikim taught Torah for a long time, and many, many, many holy Jews were shechted al Kiddush Hashem. And there's a mahapecha that's taking place right now in the world, in our lives, in our hearts. And we're now at the beginning of a chodesh shenepach lahem miyogin l'simcha, meiv liyantiv. A chodesh shenepach lahem. The month where everything turned around, where there was a mahapecha, v'nahafoichu. I want to talk to you about this for a few minutes. I don't have the time. This isn't a shiur. It's a little bit just, like I say always when I speak in the yeshiva, sichas chaveirim. But chassidim, we call it a sichas chaveirim. Friends talking. Just sharing a feeling, a hergish that I have. When I get back home, I try to tell my brothers and sisters and tell everybody what this is over here, this night that we have once a year. We missed a few years, but this night, when I'm going to get back to where I'm staying in Yerushalayim, my wife's going to say, "No, Maish, was it? How was it? Was it what you were hoping for?" And it's always way, way beyond anything I could possibly hope for. So many faces here of people that I love beyond words, and those that I don't know, but you're learning Torah. You're learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Shonim Luberis, it's an Ibiyar. You said this morning the words, L'chaparas Parsha. It's a time of tshuva. It's Shemitah. The whole year is Shabbos Dik. The whole year is Yom Kippur Dik. It's an Ibiyar. It's a leap year. So let me talk to you a drop about what does that mean? A leap year. It's a very big Indian. The whole first month of Adar, I was talking a lot about it in different places. The sun, the moon, I'm sure you've heard about it, you've been talking about it. And we're all davening that we should be able to live a life of Einenu Me'iros Kashemesh V'Chayereach. To see that time of the moon being restored to what it once was, time of Bereishis, which means me and you and Am Yisrael and the world being fixed. You know, there was a tzaddik, and I want to begin with a vart from this tzaddik. The Sar Sholem from Bell's Schusig and Elaine. You know, he first came to Lublin to learn by the Chayzer. Nobody knew who he was. He was a huge Talmud Chacham, a young man very, very hidden. Nobody knew who he was. And the first time that the Sar Shalom from Belz appeared in Lublin was by the night of Purim. And he was a stranger. You can imagine that in Lublin by the Chayzer there were probably even more people than we have right now here inside the Besamedrish, outside the Besamedrish, trying to get in for the Megillah Lane. And the Chayzer was called the Chayzer because he had unusual eyes. He saw through things and through people and beyond what other people can see. And the Chayzer was looking around the Beis HaMedrash for somebody. And then he pointed to this young stranger, Shalom from Belz. And he called him over and he said, I want you to lay in the Megillah. I don't know what happened to the regular Valkari, but that's pretty scary to be called up to lay in the Megillah on the spot, and also by the Chayzer from Lublin. And the Sar Shalom lay in the Megillah. Nobody knew who he was. Obviously, he was somebody who caught the eye of the Chayzer. And he lay in the Megillah, and the whole Megillah lining, the Chayzer couldn't hold himself. He was exploding. And even though the Sar Shalom lay in like a regular lane, and nobody else understood what's going on, but the Chayzer heard something. And later that night, some of the older chassidim went and they asked the Rebbe, what was it with that young man? Who is he? What was the Rebbe so excited about? And the Chayzer said, you know, I've heard that story told so many times, but I never in my life heard somebody tell it the way that he told it. And the chassidim spoke about this, what the Rebbe said later on, and over the years, it's been discussed. And all of you know the halacha in the Karyas HaMegillah Mafreya, that if you read the Megillah backwards, that you're not yaitzeh, it has to be read in the right order. And you also know that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh taught that the Mafreya means that if you read the Megillah and you think that it's just a story about something that happened once upon a time, that you're not really yaitzeh what the Megillah is. The Megillah, of course, like the Mori Naim says, and other tzaddikim, is Megillah Sester, is Lagadli Sesanister, is to reveal that which is most hidden. Not to tell a story just about something that once was, but to tell us our own story about what we're going through right now, and who we are, and what we could do right now in our lives, what's happening to us right now in our lives. So let's try to think for a moment. I'm going to share with you a Torah from that tzaddik, the Sar Shalom. And to concentrate, each and every one of us, to think about what the Sar Shalom is telling us. Megillah begins by telling us about the greatness of Ahasuerus and the size of that Malchus, 127 Medinas. And there's an argument in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. So Machlokes, what is the distance from Hoidu to Kush? So Machlokes in the Gemara. It's an interesting Machlokes, geography. Whatever these two places are now, how we identify them now, it's not important at this moment. What's important is that there's a Hoidu and Kush inside of us. And Rav and Shmuel were trying to understand something about the Hoidu and Kush of our lives. So Chad Omar once said, these two places were at opposite ends of creation of the world. Opposite ends of the world. Hoidu b'saif ha'ilam, b'kush b'saif ha'ilam. That Hoidu, nowadays they translate it as India, but it's lavdavka, exactly. But Hoidu Saif Ilam is one end of the world, and Kush is at the other end of the world, the two farthest points on the globe are Haidu and Kush. V'chad Omar, that's one opinion. The other opinion is Haidu v'Kush gabe hadade havikayim. That Haidu and Kush were right next to each other. When we learn these things in yeshiva, we're wondering, it's machlokes mitzvos. What does that mean? And usually when you have a disagreement about something in mitzvos, we're talking about some slight variation or difference. But to have a machlokes in mitzvos, hoydu b'sof ha'olam and kushes b'sof ha'olam, that either we're talking about two places that are furthest apart in the world, which means the galaxy, the universe, or they're mamish right next to each other. It's a strange machlokes. So Sasha Sholem from Bell said, listen carefully, Chever, I want you to listen very, very carefully and deeply. Because it would take hours really to talk about this. One would have to learn properly the Kesem Eifer from the Heilige Kamarna to understand the beginning of Megillas Esther, the whole Megillah, but especially that first Pasuk. Haidu and Kush aren't just two places in the world. They're two ways of life, two ways of thinking. Haidu is the Lashon of Hod, which means splendor and glory. It means the beauty of the tzaddik. Haid. Kush means darkness, blackness, and darkness, just the opposite. So there are two kinds of Jews. Look, all of us have moments, sometimes hours, weeks, months, and years, of being stuck in Kush, of being stuck in a certain dark place. One kind of a person who's going through that, who's living in Kush, when he thinks of moving to a life that's called Haidu, when he thinks of changing, of an ahafaychu, of changing his life, his davening, his midas, his kedushas hadibus, kedushas einayim, his learning, that for this person it seems that it's simply the other end of the universe. It's impassable, impossible. It's beyond his reach. It's too far away. He admires, when he looks at tzaddikim, or he's in yeshiva and he sees another bacha that's steiging in learning and in davening and avoda, in kedusha. He looks at that person, he's envious, he feels, it would be so beautiful if I could only live in Hodu, in the world of Hod. But unfortunately, I am a citizen in the darkness that's called Kush. And for this person, the idea of traveling internally within himself, to be that person, even for a period of time, to be that person that is shining with the haid of the tzaddik, for this person it seems that it's simply too far. It's too hard. I can't do it. I can't finish a mesechta in a bi'iyun, Gemara Rashi Tosfos. I can't go a week, a month, some people in a day without looking at certain things or thinking about certain things. And if you say to me, but that's the tachlis of our being in the world, you say, do me a favor, my friend, I know that, but a distance between Hoidu and Kush, and I'm a person that lives in Kush. It's my life. It's been my whole life, Kush. You know how many times I've had guys that have told me that from the time that they're 13, 14, that they've been lost in Kush. And I can't get to something that's called Hoidu. I can't get to that place. I admire the Jews of Hoidu. I respect them. I love them. But it's not me. I can't change in such a way. I can't travel from Kush to Hoidu. It's too far. It says in the Gemara, Chad Omar, Hoidu b'soif Ayla, and Kush b'soif Ayla. The two opposite ends of the universe. Zelo ani, ani lo echal. But then you have another person, even though he has spent considerable time, sometimes even more time, in the land of Kush, he remembers a few words that are found almost at the very end of Chumash. My dear friend Eitan Katz made a beautiful niggun recently. Maybe we could sing it, Jonathan. We could sing it afterwards. Ki kar v'lecha adav ma'oid. And this Jew, who also knows what it's like, the bitterness of Kush, the emptiness of Kush, the ugliness and the darkness of Kush. But this Jew still believes somehow, after all of these years, he still believes that somehow, Kikar v'lecha adav ma'ayd b'ficha v'lovavcha la'asai say. And like the Gemara says, that according to the second opinion, Hoidu v'Kush gabe hadad have kaimi, that the two places of Hoidu and Kush are mamish next door to each other. Ki karev elecha adav ma'ayid. But the Baruch Shalom is saying to each and every one of us that I want you to know that this place of coming to me that's called Hoidu, it's not misayfil. You feel that it's on the other end of the world. And the Amar was only talking about that feeling that you have of it being across the universe, that you could never be in that place. You could never go a week without Lashon Hara. You could never go a half hour to keep your head in the sugya, you know. You can't do it. But this person knows, Kikar v'lech adav ma'oid b'fich v'lov av chalasai, so he believes, Kikar v'lech adav ma'oid. That's the teaching of the Sar Shalom from Belz. Now we can understand, even on our level, what it means. The meaning of drinking on Purim. Reb Leibel Eger already said a long time ago that Livasume doesn't have to come with actually drinking a glass of wine. Livasume means to become intoxicated, to become shikha. I know Jews who never drink in their shikr with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their shikr with Torah and Tefillah. But what does it mean, Ad L'yada? Ad L'yada. It means that this second person of Kikar V'lech Adav Ma'ayid believes B'emun Ishleima, that even though right now in my life I live like Haman, it seems that my life is a life of Haman. And people have told me that there's a huge distance between Haman and Mordechai, between making myself from a Haman into a Mordechai, into an Ish Yehudi. But Ad L'yada ben Aharam Lach Baruch Menachem means that I believe B'Emun Ishleima in V'naha Feichu. In Achaydish Hashanapach Lahem, I believe in Munir Shleima that I can change, that in a minute I could turn my life around, just like the whole world. Nobody would have believed. You would be telling stories like the last 2 years have been like science fiction stories. Who would have, even to make up stories like what you've been living through? Ad L'yada means that I'm able to leap, a leap here. that I believe that even though I've been in Kush for a while, and even though I feel like I'm so far away, but I believe Be'emunah Shleima, within 1 minute, in 1 second, I could turn my life around. There could be even a half echo. I could jump across that distance between Kush and go back to Haridu. Every single person who's in this gym right now, in this room right now, every single one of you wants to do that. Every single one of you, you're here because you want to do that. I don't just mean here tonight. You're here in Eretz Yisrael, you're here in Yeshiva. Because you want to move from Kush to Haidu. You don't want to live. There's not one person that's here right now that expects or that wants to chalila live life in Kush, to spend your life in Kush. Maybe every now and then to visit, but certainly not to live in Kush. But there's something that's in the way. There's something that causes a Jew to think that the truth is that Haidu and Kush are misayfai and madsayfai. And that something is what we call Amalek. Let me explain. A long time ago, Hashem Yisbarach took us out of Mitzrayim. Until that time, the world was submerged in filth. In filth. The whole world was Kush, filth, Evas Ha'aretz, ugliness, insanity, immorality, idolatry. The whole world was buried in filth. And then all of a sudden, like Rav Kook says, Pesach is the Aviv Ha'olam. All of a sudden, the springtime of creation arrived. And a change took place. Something remarkable began to happen. There was a revolution that began. And we left Mitzrayim. And the strangest thing took place. The water became dry land. Then it changed. It turned. There was a Nahafechu from the Yom Tiyabosha of Nahafechu. And Shomu Amim Yegozun Chilochaz Yoshve Peloshes. The nations of the world, even these worlds, these nations that were mamish, disgusting. Disgusting. We can't be masig how low these people were. And even these people, Shomo Amim Yegozim, Chil Ochaz Yoshve Peloshes. Suddenly the world began to shake, began to tremble. The world began to think that, you know what? There's something different. There's something better. We don't have to live this way. We don't have to remain imprisoned in Kush, in darkness. There's a different mahalach, there's a different way. There was one person by the name of Yisroi, he taka heard. And it's hard to believe in one pasuk the words, Vayishma Yisroi, that Yisroi was Koyein Midian, Chayisein Moshe. Yisroi was the Rebbe of all of Avodah Zarah, you understand? He was the biggest galach in the world. He was the Rosh of all the tum of the world, Yisroel. And in one pasuk it says that this Kohen Midian turned his life around. He became Chayisein Moshe. Became Chayisein Moshe. Vayishma Yisroel, he heard and he changed. And he was able to jump, to leap from that lowest place of Kohen Midian to become Chayisein Moshe, from Kush to Haidu, because they're Kabe Hadadi Kaim, Habe Kaim, they're next to each other. The Emes is they're next to each other. But then something happened that prevented, Yisroel was able to overcome this somehow, but the rest of the world is still struggling, and so are we. Vayova Amalek. Now, Chevra, there are many explanations of what that means. What's the koich of Amalek? We don't have time. It's late. It's almost Shabbos. But this we know. The inyan of Amalek is that you can't change. Let me share with you from the Kavod Zimmer of Rav Kook, the sixth, in the sixth Kaivitz, Ois Reish Nun Aleph. It's a hard sefer, the Kavod Zimmer, but if you have a chance, take a look. Kaivitz Vav Reish Nun Aleph. I'll read you just a few words. Rav Kook identifies Amalek. What is Amalek? Amalek, he says, Eina yachol lizbol nisim ba'olam. Amalek eino yachol lizbol nisim ba'olam. Amalek cannot bear the supernatural. Amalek cannot bear, cannot tolerate, cannot accept anything that's beyond nature, that's miraculous. Lo yishinui teva b'musar ha'adam. And the same way that Amalek cannot accept that there's such a thing that water can become dry land, and that bread could fall from Shemayim, and that the Nile could turn into blood, that same Amalek, Rav Kook says, cannot believe, cannot accept, Shinui Teva B'Musar HaAdam, cannot accept that a person can turn his life around, that a person can transcend his natural inclination, his natural desires. The whole Metzius, Rav Kook says, the Mahus of Amalek is, there's no such thing as an Ahafoichu. Ein davar kazeh b'olam. There's no such thing as an Ahafoichu. What is, just as water is water and land is land, you are a citizen of Cush. There are other Jews that were maybe created by God, and somehow the God wove into the fabric of their beings something extraordinary, some tzaddik, but that's not you. You were created as a Cush dweller. You are far away. Kedusha is the other end of the universe. You hear about it, you dream about it, you learn about it, you talk about it, but it's not you. Because you're doomed to the nature of who you are. I can't tell you how many times I've had married couples will come talk to me, there's some Indian of Shalom Bayis, they come to the office, and I look at them, and the wife is crying, and he's looking at my svarim. This has happened many, many times. Oh, I didn't know Machon Yerushalayim put out the new... Oh. And she's sitting there crying and listening. No, Chaver, what are you here for? What is it? So he says, she's upset about something. And she's just crying. And the two of them are sitting there, Misoifa Lamad Soifa. And I ask, so tell me, what is it, Rivka? And she starts to describe a little bit of her life with her tzaddik. With whatever his name is, her Yankel. Anger, sometimes abusive anger, sometimes physical abuse. Children ignored, her being ignored. And then I'll ask Yankel, what do you have to say about this? Is it true that what Rivka is saying that about your temper, about your anger and abusiveness? I can't tell you, Chaver, how many times the answer to that question has been, Rebbe, what should I tell you? First he'll say something she also was, you know, I'm talking past that stuff about her and Yonim. But then he'll say something like this almost every time. Rebbe, what could I do? My father was like that. And that's the home that I grew up in. An angry home. A home without happiness. A home where a wife was ignored, my mother was ignored, where I was ignored, where I was hurt, siblings were hurt, v'chule, v'chule. And that's who I am. And when you ask this person, the silly question, why have you allowed your past to define your present? You can change. You don't have to be your father. You could talk to your wife. You could smile to your children. You don't have to continue on with this misery of your past. But when I say those words, are you listening, boys? When I say those words, I sound to him like I'm talking from Hoidu Biskush, you understand? Hoidu Tukush. I'm trapped. Rebbe, you don't understand. I'm trapped. Everybody nowadays, it's an addiction. Alcohol, smoking, looking at things, different types of behavior. And then less extreme forms of that. But it's always, ani lo yachol, you don't understand. I was raised in Kush. It's the only world that I know. I feel bad. I love my wife. I hate myself. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm stuck. And then, of course, I try. Then I spend a lot of time. You're wrong. You're wrong. I understand that you feel that way, that you can't cross over. But you're wrong. The truth is, the metzias is that Hoidu and Kush are right next to each other. I listen out to Rav Kook's words.
Whereas Amalek is telling a person and is telling the world, you cannot change. You're stuck. Forget about Yisrael Sarim Kis Yamsu. Forget about whatever Yisrael Sarim Kis Yamsu you've had in your own life. You're stuck.
Lumazah, Hashem created me and you. Yisrael, Yotza Hashem.
Lav kies chaimas hateva. The words are the sweetest words.
Lu'umas, in contradistinction to Amalek, Hashem created the Jewish people. That means me and you. Rav Kook is not just talking about Vayhi b'mech Hashveir, Shlom Afreya. That the Baruch Shlom created me and you, every Jew. Yisrael yotza Hashem lav kies chaimas hateva. What does that mean, lav kies chaimas hateva? To break down. To shatter that wall of teva, of nature, of man's nature, of the world's nature. Umitzius hanisim osu chaloinas bahateva. And Hashem performed miracles that you and I believe in. And by doing so, Hashem made windows in that wall between what's called reality and that which is beyond reality, that which is supernatural. Hashem Yisbarach has created each and every Jew in such a way where there are windows in that wall and he's able to see beyond his nature and he's able to get a glimpse of that Or HaEloki, that godly light. That godly light that every single one of you has felt this past zman here and there and in your lives here and there. During davening, during learning, Yom Kippur, Akumzitz, whatever it is, that light that comes from someplace beyond Amalek, beyond Kush, that comes straight from Haidu. And whereas Amalek says, listen, you're either an or a Haman person, or you're a Baruch Mordechai person. Who are you? Now, if you had to, together with all the different tests that you have to pay to travel these days, if you had to fill out on a paper, and they ask you, are you or a Haman, or you're a Baruch Mordechai? You have to just check.
Arahaman Abarach Mordechai, who are you? So Amalek says, Amalek demands an answer to that question, an honest answer to that question. And let's face it, most of us, if we look back over the mistakes that we've made and struggles that we would have, we would shrug our shoulders and say, well, I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'm someplace in between. And they say, come on, there's no such thing in between. So we say, Father Matzai, are you an Arahaman Dicker person? Fill out the box. Are you a Baruch Mordechai or Arahaman? So you're watching, like the Baba Sali go through customs, you know? You watch the Chofetz Chaim going through, and Chassam Soifen, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, you know, you're watching Rav Kook and Chofetz Chaim, you're watching the Tzaddikim go through, Tzaddik, go, Tzaddik. You don't have to put your nose in your mouth and your ears and your eyes, Tzaddik, shine. And then you stop there, and let's say you filled out Tzaddik, you know. So they start to ask you a lot of questions because you look suspicious. We look suspicious, no? If the guy has good eyes, he'll see that we look suspicious. He'll say, get over, you're not at Sadi. Get over to the Arahaman. Get over there on the Arahaman line. You're traveling straight, nonstop to Kush. You never left Kush. That's Amalek, you understand? That Mahalik. Purim is ad liyodah ben aram l'baruch marcha. You're a liar. You're a shakran. You're a liar. You're telling me that I can't leave Kush, I can't get a break from Kush. I can't move out of Kush. You're telling me that I can't spend this entire hour learning because of A, B, and C, because of what I saw last night, or what I'm thinking about this morning. You're telling me I can't go to Haidu, even as a stopover. Even for a little bit, I can't take a trip to Haidu. You know, there's a story from Ari Levine. This year, but I'm sorry, I decided I don't care about the time. I wasn't here for a long time, so I don't care about that. Rabbi Levine, you know, you don't have to go so far to his, you know where he's buried? Honestly, I didn't know until the last time we were in Israel 2 years ago. And I was reading in the safe, he's buried in the middle of Yerushalayim, Sanhedrin. In the old cemetery in Sanhedrin. It's not so old. There are a lot of tzaddikim over there. That's where Rabbi Avad Yosef is buried. In that cemetery, Rabbi Levine is buried there. It means you walk on Shmuel Navi. If you have a couple of minutes, stop off over there. Rabbi Levine, the tzaddik from Yerushalayim, is buried over there. So I once saw in a sefer about Rabbi that there's a little boy, there's a Yerushalmi, was a mechutzav, and he pushed through all the rabbonim and tzaddikim, and he went over, Rabbi was there, and he went over right to Rabbi, and he pulled in Rabbi's coat, and he said, are you one of the Lamavav tzaddikim? He asked Rabbi, are you one of the Lamavav tzaddikim? So everybody said, no, you know, to grab this kid and pull him away, and other people were laughing. The only one who was like shaken by the question was Abarya. And he was quiet, and then everybody was quiet. And Abarya looked at the boy, and he said, sometimes I'm a Lama of Tzaddik. And you could also be sometimes a Lama of Tzaddik. Sometimes you could be a Lama of Tzaddik. Amalek says it's a lie. Amalek says that story is Bubba Mises. Maybe Rabbi said it, you know, it's very sweet. But you can't be. You can't sit and learn Beretzifas for a day. You can't keep yourself off of whatever it is that's pulling you. You can't stay off of that for an extended period of time. Because sof kol sof. It says on your passport, you're from Kush. Once a Kushite, always a Kushite. That's Amalek. The whole Yontif of Purim is v'nahaf hechu. Ashi yishtu to Ayyudim heim b'saneihem. Ashi yishtu Ayyudim heim b'saneihem. V'nahaf hechu means that a Jew is different. I'm not talking about comparing ourselves to the nations of the world. And I'm not getting into any theology or philosophy here tonight. But I'm going to share with you just one gilui, one revelation from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, which is discussed at length by the Kamarna and his parish on Gil Zesta. You remember when Haman was all excited that he was going to be the one that's going to be taken out with a horse and with the royal clothing. Chule. He was all excited. Kacha yeyasa liish asher hamelech chafetz biyikaru. So listen to what the Baal Shem Tov taught. The Kavana talks about this, explains this in all this form. That the letters kacha, kaf chaf hey, kacha means like this, kacha. Kacha yeyasa l'Hashem, this kacha yeyasa hamelech, kacha yeyasa l'misha hamelech chafetz biyikaru. This is what's going to be done for the person who the king loves, who the king desires, who the king's machshev. So Baal Shem Tov says that kacha is the oisias keser kol haksarim, the crown of all crowns. Now, it could be that some of you have studied this Svar Magdashim, but I think that all of you probably know that in the order of creation, without going into any inyanim of Kabbalah, but all of you know that in the order of creation, the highest is called keser, right? Some of you daven usach svar, keser yitn lecha. You know the keser is the highest madrega. And then after keser, you have chachma bin das, chesed gvurta fesnetz achayit yisayit, malchus. Keser, yitn lecha. Keser means when there's something that's beyond understanding. It's that which defines your very essence, the essence of who you are. And when it says in the pasuk, kacha yeyasa liish, asha melech chafetz biyikaru, it means that there is a certain human being in the world that's called a Jew. This one is called Reb Jonathan, this one's called Chaim Moshe, this one's called Reb Josh. Each of us with our names. And kacha yeyasa liish, it means that each and every one of us comes from that world that's called keser kol haksarim. For the deepest point of the will of the Creator, the infinite Creator. This is also called in Kabbalah, Reisha Dolos Yada, the unknowable beginning. Why does Hashem love me if I'm a Kush, if I'm a miserable member of Kush? Why would He love me? Why would He care if I come back to Him? Why would it make a difference if I learned this Tosfos? Why would it make a difference if I stay away for one night from this thing, or if I don't say this word? Why would it make a difference to Him? Kacha! Ashrei Am Shekachalai. Ashrei Am Shehashem Elokav. It means that a Jew comes from a place that's called Keser Kol Haksarim. Reisha Dol Isyada. Reish Dilo Dal Isyada spells Adar, the month of Adar. Reisha Dol Isyada means the unknowable beginning that we don't understand how or why. But this we know. A Jew is not Meshubah to Teva. That a Jew is not bound by his nature. And even if you did something 1,000 times, a million times you yelled at your wife, you don't have to do that again. And even if you drank this or smoked that 1,000 times, and it's every single study shows that you're kush, finished. And Amalek says, don't even bother. Haidu, soifa olam. Leave it for the tzaddikim, who are clean. You're filthy. So you say, Rabbi Amalek, listen to me, Rabbi Amalek, Rabbi Haman, listen, I want to tell you something. Ashrei Am Shekach Alai, Ashrei Am Shehashem Elokav, Chpnayid. I'm a Jew. I come from another place. It's called Me'eva HaNahar. Oy, what the HaKadosh, what the Zohar Kodesh talks about, Eva HaNahar, the other side of the river. I come from another place. I'm an Ivri, and Ivri is Me'eva from beyond anything that you could possibly understand. Rabbi Malik, you're stuck in the world of Teva. You're stuck in that world, and you don't believe in miracles. You don't believe in the miraculous change. I know, more than hundreds of people that I've seen in my life who have changed miraculously. I know people. I see people. There are people in this room that I know who have done that, who are doing it right now. What about all the laws of Amalek and the laws of Kush? It's Nibiyah. It's a leap year. It's a Shana Mubaraz. It's a time when everything is reset, recalibrated. Back to the beginning with the Ohel Havana, with the changing light of the moon, we're able to taste that time in the future when it's going to be the Ohel Havana, that everything is going to be, the light of the moon is going to be forever. And as great as it once was, not smashed and crashed and falling and the darkness setting in again, but it will be shining and bright forever. That's been a half way through. That's the koyach of a yid, that's the koyach of Purim. And that's why you see Jews that normally the whole year, they can't conceive of being tzaddikim, but on Purim it's ad l'yada. Ben Arham l'Baruch Mordechai, there is no space between Arham l'Baruch Mordechai. In 1 second, Baruch Mordechai, from Arham, in 1 second from Kush, Baruch Mordechai. How is that possible? It can't be. Like Rav Kook explained, Amalek doesn't believe in miracles. Eino Soivel can't bear, can't tolerate miracles. The terrorist is a Jew, be'etzim is a miracle. I'm telling you, Chav, and there are many of you who I know over here, my parents, my father, my mother, my mother graduated from a place called Auschwitz. You heard of it, right? And my father graduated from a place called Mauthausen. That's where they went for the summer and winter and fall and spring to camp. Not to Marashah, you understand? Not there's anything wrong with Marashah. It's wonderful. Halafai, everybody should be able to be in safe, good, healthy places. Camp Auschwitz and Camp Mauthausen. And I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to understand it. And I grew up with these, my parents and other Jews, their fellow survivors. And if you could find any explanation that would satisfy Amalek, who tried to finish them off, of how is it possible that these people would ever smile again, let alone keep mitzvahs again, let alone learn Torah again, and raise Jewish families again, and sing again, I'd say it's not possible. But that's what Rav Kook says. Yisrael Yotza Hashem Lahavkiya Eschemes HaTeva. Hashem created the Jewish people to break down that wall, to shatter, to break down that wall. Therefore, the Baruch Shalom says, teaching everything else right now, I'm going to end. I'm sorry, I know it's late. I mean, I feel bad for the Rebbeim. For the guys, it's okay. But for the Rebbeim, I feel bad. Tzehi Lochem Amalek, to go and fight against Amalek. That's the Tzav HaShah. That's what the Baruch Shalom is telling us right now. You want v'nahafeichu? You want to turn your life around? You want to see that it's possible to go from a life miyogon l'simcha me'evel yontiv? There are people now, you know that there's a terrible tzara that has become much more in the open about so many, it's hard to believe Jewish boys and girls, men and women who have lived through terrible, disgusting abuse. It's not a sod, it's not a secret. There are people who try to keep it a secret, but it's not a secret. And I look at these people, and I'm especially the past few months, there hasn't been a week where I haven't spoken to at least three or four of these chevra because it triggered so much in them, so much from the past. And at the beginning, when they faced that ugliness again, Kush, they're convinced that it's not possible for me to get out of this place of Kush. I'll never be able to smile again. I'll never be able to live again. But I've seen that miracle also, that change. I've seen it. It doesn't go away. It's a terrible, 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 terrible tzara. But there's a koyach that a yid has because of racial delisai. Ashrem shekoch elos kesa kol haksarim. Kocha yeyosili lemisha melech. Chafetz be a carbon. Hashem is chafetz. Each and every one of you has to know that Baruch Shalom wants more than anything. We don't understand it. It's keser kolak sarim. Can we explain it that Hashem is Baruch wants you and I to be close to Him more than anything else? He loves in the deepest way each and every one of us in such a way that He can't bear kivyochel being without us. He can't bear being without us. Kache yosheli lemisha melech chafetz be yikara. And if you ask why, the terrace is kacha. Kacha. Like they say in Eretz Yisrael. Kacha. Zehu. It's a metzius. That's the metzius. So let me just end with a little story. I began with a little story. I'll end with a little story. And I apologize for taking so much of your time. I think that many of you Many of you know this story. It was written up, it's already over 40 years ago, maybe 35, 40 years ago, I remember reading it first. There was a professor that had the privilege of speaking to the Hillige Bluje Rebbe, Schuski Lane, Professor Eliach. And she spoke to the Bluje Rebbe about what he went through during the war. Now, I had this chus to meet the Bluje Rebbe a number of times. He was a shining tzaddik, a huge Talmud Chacham, a huge tzaddik, the Bluje Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Shapir. He went through Gehenim, and he came out. He was able to remarry. Actually, his son from the second wife, that she had a child that he raised. It was the Rebbe that recently passed away a few years ago, the Bluje Rebbe. So he told over a ma'aseh that I'm pretty sure that many of you have heard, but I wanted to say it over now tonight, because it's the inyan of Sehi Lachem Ba'amalek. Sehi Lachem Ba'amalek. He was in concentration camp, not one that was so well known, the name. And, you know, the worst thing in those places was if word would get out that somebody was a Rebbe or a Rosh Yeshiva. Because the Germans, if they heard that somebody was a Rebbe or a Rosh Yeshiva, they would finish them off right away. So it was a well-kept secret in the camp that this was the famous Tzaddik, the Bluje Rebbe. But he was shaven like everybody and wearing the same shmatas as everybody. And there was a secular Jew there, not only like sort of an anti-religious Jew there in the camp of the Bluje Rebbe, that didn't even have the Derech Eretz to call him quietly Rebbe. He called him Shpir, because he had no respect for religion, this person. He was completely non-religious, even anti-religious. But somehow the two of them took a great liking to each other, and him and the Bluje Rebbe, they worked together, and they were always together in camp. And he would speak to the Bluje Rebbe like you speak to a friend. No Rebbe stuff, your friend. And the day arrived where the Germans were finished with these Jews and their work. And they were lined up, and there was a huge pit, a huge cavern that was very, very wide, cavernous pit in the ground. And the Jews already had heard about what was next. They heard stories, and they understood that they were going to be shot. And that was the end of them, and they were going to be thrown into the pit. My father, Shlom, actually spent a night climbing out of such a pit. And I remember the nightmares when I was growing up from that time, that he remembered trying to climb out, but there were other Jews that were still screaming and alive, and they were dying in some pit that he was thrown into, and they were shot. And the Nazis, the Germans, Yimach Shemam, wanted to have some fun. You know, they didn't just want, they wanted some entertainment. And they didn't just want to shoot these Jews. They wanted to have some fun. So they made an offer. And they said that any one of you who's able to jump over the pit, you can live. We won't shoot you. So when it comes time, when we count to three, jump. Whoever makes it across will live. This is, even an Olympic jumper could not do this. And these were people who could barely walk. So it was just a cruel thing to watch the Jews degrade themselves even more in the last minute of life. So the Bluje was standing there together with his friend, the two of them. And the Rebbe said to him, so this guy said to the Rebbe said, no spear, I guess this is it. And the Rebbe said to him that when he yells, jump, jump as hard as you can. And the Germans screamed out, Ein, zwei, drei. And the shooting began, screaming and everybody getting shot. And there were only two people who crossed over this pit. And that was the Bluje Rebbe and his secular friend. And the Germans were staring from across the other side. They didn't know what happened, how this could be that they flew over that. And they were staring at, he didn't know what to do, and they just left him alone. And this guy, this Jew, he turned to the Rebbe, but now he called him Rebbe. And he said to him, Rebbe, how'd you do that? And he said, to tell you the truth, I was holding on to the coattails of my holy ancestors, the tzaddikim. But the Rebbe said to his friend, but how did you do that? And he said, Rebbe, I was holding on to you the whole time. Chevra, thank God we don't have to live in such times. And we're not standing at the edge of such a pit. But each and every one of you knows, you know, what exactly is that pit in your life that you're standing at the edge of? And what Purim is telling you, especially in a leap year, and an Ibi year, what Purim is telling you is to jump. You can cross over. You can do it. Just you have to hold on to the coattails of your Rebbeim, of your teachers, of the Tzaddikim, of the Sfar Makdashim. You can cross over. I want to give a bracha to each and every one of you. Hashem's Baruch should open your eyes and they should shine like the sun and the moon. And you should know how much the Baruch Shalom is chafet to be yikarcha, how desperately Hashem wants to be close to you. And you should feel every moment of your life, ki karev lecha davar moed b'fichu v'lovch la'asai say, we should say, Kein Tielon of the Gulash of Amitis, Amen, Amen.